It's Saturday, September 10th, and this is episode 37 of The Shaughnessy, the conclusion of Death of a Dishwasher. For The Shaughnessy, I'm Patrick McLean. Still dead, Billy sits in the walk-in, propped up next to a side of beef. While his troubles are over, Nichols are just beginning. You see, he's got a body in his restaurant, and a thing like that'll flat rattle some folk. Enough to drive a sober man to drink. And a drinking man? Well, it's predictable. He sits in the empty bar after close, drinking and thinking. Two jiggers of drink and just a splash of think, please. Searching for that elusive cocktail of Eureka, trying to figure out how. How in the hell is he going to get rid of this body? And in his scheming, does he have a care for the boy's family? Does he wonder what it might do to them to lose a son and never know what happened? Does he have a thought for the family?
Nichols, if you don't take care of this, it's going to be your fat ass in a sling.
No, he doesn't care. It's enough to make you want to crack his skull open. So let's do it. Come on, right now, you and me. Let's bust his head wide open. See what's going on inside. A miasma of liquor vapor hangs over everything. Mostly a whitish fog, but there's something that looks like a Manhattan off to my right. In the distance, a clip from Scarface runs again and again.
Then you get the restaurant. Then you sleep with the hostess.
Little friend, indeed. And here, an image of Nichols, but taller and with more hair. It's how he sees himself when he's feeling good. In a darker corner, a similar picture, but shorter, fatter, and balder. These are the bad days. It somehow seems denser, more substantial, this effigy. To be honest, for Nichols, there are a lot of bad days. Over there, a flicker, heat lightning in the distance. And then, a melodramatic pop, and from nowhere, an idea. Perfectly lit and spinning in space, a 50-pound bag of quick-mix concrete. Just add water. Back in the real world, Nichols heaves his body off the bar stool. Now showing in the theater of his mind, Nichols, man of action. A ridiculously thick head of hair blowing in the wind. And he's dressed in an outfit that looks like it was cobbled together from leftover World War II uniforms from the Africa campaign. Nichols may be just staggering through a deserted restaurant, bumping into chairs here and there. But in his mind, he strides across a parade ground. His medals glint in the sun and clink together. No, he's not walking to his beater car parked next to the dumpster. No, not this man. No, not Nichols. He's a one-man tank charge. Does he know where he's going? Does he have any idea where he might find a bag of concrete at this hour of the night? Can he have decided on a suitably deep body of water? Has he even remembered to put the body in his trunk? Of course not. But when he falls asleep in his car, releasing his keys to gravity, it is a valiant death. His are the snores of heroes and the dreams of the victorious. But the next morning, the glory has faded and the pain begins anew. He puts it all back together again, flickering images amid the brain fog. Like a cockroach, he scuttles back into the cool dark of the restaurant. And in the walk-in, he discovers the truth. The body is gone. He's not too sure how, but he must have gotten rid of it, right? Bodies don't move themselves. Yes, thinks Nichols. I am a hero. For weeks, he walks around with newfound pride. George and Tim finally treat him with some kind of respect. He stepped up. He got rid of the body. George says he doesn't want to know shit about it, but he's amazed that for once, Nichols finally took care of something without f***ing it up. But what really happened to Billy? Who can say what comes after death? Sure, everyone has theories, but what does the afterlife look like? For Billy, it looks a lot like rehab. He had awoken cold, alone, and surprisingly lucid. At first, he thought he had come home and left the air conditioning on full blast. But then, what was all this meat doing in his living room? When it finally dawned on him that he was in a 40-degree walk-in cooler, Billy decided that it was time to do something. He took the 12 steps to heart, including step 8, Make a list of all persons you have harmed and be willing to make amends to all of them. So when he was clean and sober, naturally, he headed back to the restaurant. That night was even busier than the night Billy had died, and they were short a waiter. But Nichols, with a wind of heroes still fresh in his hair, had leapt into action. He single-handedly took 3 tables in a party of 12. Now, with a dangerously overloaded tray, a normal person would have made 2 trips, but not Nichols. He had to be... No. He was a hero. With a mighty effort, Atlas shouldered the tray, literally carrying the entire weight of the restaurant on his shoulder. For the place was so hopelessly weeded that a 4-table disaster would destroy any chance George in the kitchen had of keeping up. With so much at stake, was there fear in Nichols' heart? No. He didn't even know how to spell check the word defeat. But when he turned around and came face to face with a dead man whose corpse he thought he had illegally dumped into an unknown body of water... None of this ever made sense to Billy. He was just glad to be clean, sober, and out of the restaurant business.